down to Biscay. Yikes. 5 on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to 5 on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the 5 Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to another episode of 5 on the Floor Live. I am your host, Greg Sylvander. Tonight's floor plan with me, Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket, as well as Brady Hawk, who's skating in and out of here. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. We are going to talk about this pretty upsetting, anticlimactic end to the road trip. The Miami Heat lose to the Memphis, shorthanded Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis. We're going to talk about what ailed them tonight. And just, you know, kind of, it was an embarrassing effort on many fronts. And we're going to go through some of that. Before we do, want to tell you about a great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network and 5 on the Floor Live, this post-game show in particular. And that is A Aggressive Insurance. They are an insurance broker agency that's been servicing South Florida for over 15 years. They offer auto insurance, retirement programs, condo insurance, life insurance, free notary service to all clients. They represent all the leading insurance carriers in South Florida. If you have a bad driving record, no problem. No driver is refused. Free phone quotes. Call Lynette at A Aggressive Insurance, 954-589-8800. The insurance agency that works for you. Check her out at Insurance by Lynette. That's with two N's and two T's .com. InsuranceByLynette.com. A Aggressive Insurance. All right. So that sucked. We're going to just start by saying that. I am not going to run from the fact that this is a game the Heat had, should have had, could have had. They were the better team. The Grizzlies were shorthanded. There's no reason why they should have lost tonight. The points in the paint thing is really weird. We're going to have to talk about that for a minute. But ultimately, guess what, y'all? I'm not that fazed by this because they were feeling themselves. You know, they had just won, what was it, 3 of 4 or so, and they beat Boston in a pretty intense game up there with Jimmy coming back. This was a letdown spot. They had a team then that in Memphis that, you know, had multiple guys sitting out. Ja Morant all of a sudden was doubtful. Then he was out. Desmond Bain has been out. Jaren Jackson Jr. Was out, kind of managing his return to injury. So then you expected to win. And then they got out and they played well. And then you expected, even when they hung around, that the Heat could finish them off. And then they don't. Points in the paint. They give up the most points this season. 62, I think, was the last I heard. And while scoring the least amount of points in the paint, 22 or so. So that's, you know, a conundrum that the Heat cannot get into in any game. They will lose. Brady, I'll start with you. Am I on to something that this is just kind of one of those classic letdown games? And ultimately, as we look back, it's not going to be, something that was critical? Or did you see something else out there that I missed?
Well, I think it's definitely a letdown game. But I don't think they should just get off the hook for it, because they're not in a spot this season where they can just have letdown games. Like, they're at a point where it was trying to get over the hump. They're at a point where they're trying to get back to 500. They're at a point where they already had letdown games this season, this early in the season, in their first 20, that now it's trying to build that back. That when you have an advantage, which they have not had all season, where they finally have their full roster intact, basically, like their main guys are there and they're playing a team that does not, you can't give these games up. Like, you cannot lose the games that you actually are healthy. So I'll start there. In terms of the things that happened on the court, you hit on it. Like, the points in the paint, that is just an insane thing. Like, to let a team, usually you lose games like this where it's like, okay, that team just shot insane from three. Like, they got a bunch of young guys out there. They're just going to just fire away like Memphis usually does, like, when they have those type of guys out there. That was not the case at all. Like, not only are you giving up that many points, which is kind of schematically, and I'll talk about the fact that we talked about after the Suns game, how they were forcing campaign into that far floater, and it kind of it's an inefficient shot. That's a shot you want if you're Miami. What happened was Tyus Jones was hitting that floater because he has a floater intact. Like, that's his game. And that inefficient shot was just dropping for him. So that's the first aspect. And the fact that they weren't generating paint points, I thought we were heading in a direction early in this game where I thought we'd see it, because Jimmy was clearly coasting. Like, he walked into this game, and the way you know that is he walked into this game and said, I'm playing playmaker and I'm not even going to shoot the ball. Like, when they went on their run and they looked good, I was saying it, because he just kept getting the paint under the rim, kick out, Caleb Martin 3, Tyler Hero 3. And it was like, okay, Jimmy doesn't want to shoot. And if they win the game off that, then that's totally fine. But then obviously there's no paint points being generated now, because your two best players basically are molded off of getting to the basket and getting paint points. So that when they're both not playing well and you're not getting those shots, how are you generating anything from three and generating any of your shots for your role players? So I feel like a lot of these things we're talking about just bleeds into the next thing, but it really simply comes down to the fact your two best players were not good enough and your bench gave you absolutely nothing. Like, that, when you're talking about kind of simplifying it, that's what it comes down to, because you have Dedmon, who we could say for another, right here, a comment just popped up about Dedmon being a minus 17. We know what he is at this point. Haywood Highsmith, I thought, was very good defensively in this game. So when you look at Strus and Gabe, are supposed to be your offensive hubs off the bench, and they're both absolutely off and not creating enough, and they're not taking care of the ball, and all this stuff just kind of just leads to a very bad formula. It was Tyler Hero, it was Caleb Martin, and everything kind of dropped off from there.
Yeah, I mean, not only did the bench suck, because, I mean, and especially Gabe, Dedmon, I mean, you get 11 points from these guys. It's just not enough. Highsmith had his moments in the first half, I guess. But to your point, then also you have Jimmy, Bam, and Kyle that are also a little uneven. You know, the Heat going into tonight were 8-1 when they out-rebounded their opponents this season. They out-rebounded Memphis by 4 tonight and still ended up losing the game. So that just kind of shows you, usually this is a game that Miami wins. And for some reason, something went awry. I think it had a lot to do with effort. It had to do with that team just got rolling. Alex, this dude, Kennedy Chandler, file his name away as a player that I want to follow in the NBA, because I would like him to be on the Heat at some point. He looks like a fun player to watch play on a night-to-night basis. Also, this Aldama, however
Santi
you say
Aldama.
Thank you. I knew you would know his name.
Mispronounced future Heat legend Santi Aldama's name. All right.
Yo, he looks like a Miami Heat player. They would just want to get him in better shape. But he sure does look like a Heat player. What were your major takeaways from tonight? And specifically, I guess, let's talk Bam Adebayo for a moment, because I feel like the comments in particular, I've seen a lot of Bam didn't show up tonight. Bam was bad. Bam didn't get his shots, although he was second in the team in field goal attempts. He didn't shoot it well. What was your impression of Bam Adebayo's game and just this game in general?
Well, he had an off game. There's no doubt about it. Like, we knew that he wasn't going to be able to keep up 30 points a game over, you know, the way that he has over the last four games. Like, before, I mean, you see the growth, right? We talked about it over these past few podcasts, but we knew that, you know, he's going to have games like this. And you already talked about the complacency with Jimmy. I thought that was the case kind of with Bam tonight too. Like, I think there was too many times where there were possessions that he didn't exactly take advantage of. He kind of settled for that floater that we haven't seen that much this season, right? He usually just gets to that fadeaway shot that he's gotten to. I think he had a little bit of a tough time with Steven Adams tonight. Not to get to, all Bam is a 4 on you guys, because that's not really where I'm going, any of that. I just think, you know, it was a tough night for him. He, you know, he does some of the other stuff that he's good at, of course. And so for his standard, I think he has a high baseline. And so it was a tough night. You know, when you don't have much from your bench, Jimmy, I think, was a little bit, you know, kind of gave you a B-minus type of game for his standard, right? Kyle did have a great game. You talk about Tyler and Caleb, like, they did great. But I just think, you know, both teams were really bad in the half court, but the Heat were worse. And then you talk about like 40 points in the paint more for the Grizzlies. How do you can out rebound them, but if you're getting outscored in the paint by 40, you know, also not making a lot of threes, the Grizzlies made fewer, but like, that's all the difference right there. I was looking at the shots made, the Grizzlies doubled them in both shots at the rim and shots in the mid range, right? From field goals made in those areas. So it's just like, that's a huge, huge gap, right? And even if you're out talenting these guys when they're missing Ja, Bain, and Jaren Jackson, you just can't let that happen. You're supposed to be elite at not allowing teams to get to the rim, right? Like you pointed that out earlier, Leif, and that's something
I jinxed it, y'all. I sent to our text feed today that the Heat were leading in points in the paint in defense.
But this is what they do. They've been doing this for the past few seasons. Like, they're very good at not allowing teams to get to the paint, whether it's been in the drop or when they first started with Jimmy, or whether it's been in the switch, whether it's been in the zone. They're going to most likely prioritize the paint on defense. You know, sometimes they're gonna have mistakes and slip ups and give up cuts, but their defense is designed to not give up, you know, so many paint attempts. Now, they're not the greatest at, you know, percentage once teams actually get there, and that was kind of the issue tonight. It was just too many of those mistakes, especially when, you know, not even getting into the offensive stuff, right? So I just think there was too many things that went wrong. All the turnovers. I don't even know. Like, my mind is a little bit scrambled just because they actually gave up this game. It's just, to me, I don't. This is one of the worst losses, right? Like Brady said before, they're not in the place to lose these types of games. You have to take care of business. And yes, like, you know, they've got another stretch with a couple of easy games coming up. So that's good for them, right? To be able to maybe take care of business over there. But this type of game, and yes, the Grizzlies have won without Ja, but without those three guys, like, there's absolutely no excuses. You have your core four. We were just talking about how important it is to want to see these guys out there. And we know that they play up to competition. And in the same way, like yin and yang, they play down to competition. So it's just a classic night of that. I really thought they were just going to take care of business tonight and finally get to 500. I don't know when that's going to happen now. Maybe in like a week or something.
It'll happen on this next home swing. But you're right. There's no excuse for this. And you know what? If you're the 2 seed right now, or you're the 1 seed or the 3 seed, whatever, 1, 2, 3, and you're kind of coasting along the way that I think we all envisioned maybe the season would start out, and then you drop this game, you just kind of, it is what it is. But the Heat, to your point, they're not in a position to do that. They can't, you know, Brady alluded to it initially at the start of the show. Like, they're not in a spot where they can give up these games. They had to get this one. They didn't. To me, it's not the end of the world, because I feel like they're still rounding into form. And this was a game where they thought they were ahead of themselves and they were feeling themselves too much. But we'll find out, right?
One quick thing. When they had that 19-point second quarter, did you think they were going to have another quarter where they scored fewer points than that for the rest of the game?
I did not. I thought that they would come out really – you know, the third quarter I thought would be huge. And
the third quarter was fine, but then they only scored 16 in the fourth. Now, look, the Grizzlies didn't score a lot in the fourth. It was like 18 or 19. But you know what I mean? To go with a 19-point second quarter, which looked really bad, you know, matches the numbers there, and then to follow it up with even fewer in the fourth quarter against this team, yes, on the road. But that's actually just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I took the under on this game on Better Edge. That is our official betting sponsor. And that definitely hit. Go to Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. That is social. It's a social betting platform. So you're not against a book. You go up against other bettors right on the platform. So you can get really interesting lines, the right kind of juice on those lines. So check out Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. To get $20 to start your bankroll. And then also want to shout out our daily fantasy sponsor. So this is Daily Fantasy, and that's Prize Picks. Use the code 5 to get your initial deposit matched up to $100. That's where you essentially are just choosing props, right? So it's your favorite players and your favorite sports. You mix and match them. You choose over and under on select statistics. And then depending on how many you get right on the same card, you can win up to 10 times your money. They do lots of fun promos and free cards where, like, you only need one passing yard from a superstar quarterback and you automatically get a pick right. So you're off to a good start there. They're great. Prize Picks. Use the code 5FIVE.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about the bench for a minute before, because I kind of want to bury this game and just forget about it. Like, if it were up to me, we may even stop the show right now, but I want to keep going with you guys. We want to take some comments and that kind of fun stuff. I did find this interesting that this is another game where the starters are playing essentially like leaning toward playoff minutes, not quite, but leaning toward. You're seeing that really only 8 guys were trusted. The question we've been asking, Brady, is would it be Haywood Highsmith or Duncan Robinson? And tonight Duncan got a DNP coach's decision. Do you think that we can pretty much sort out that this is the 9 guys right here on this particular roster
until the deadline?
Yeah, exactly. For now, of course.
For now, yes. Like, I think Haywood Highsmith has been their most consistent bench player for over the last 3 games, at least. Like, what he was doing in Boston, and then you carry it over and have this type of game. Just stats-wise, he had 3 steals and a block, and there was just a lot of good things you saw defensively in this game where you're like, this guy needs to play because he can do this. But the only way that Haywood Highsmith really gets his love is if the guys next to him on the bench are doing their job offensively, because then we're having a total different discussion. So the Max Strus conversation, it feels a little bit weird because I feel like they were overplaying him in this game, and then he just never really had an answer, and he was just kind of thrown out of whack. Like I said, there was just weird mistakes on that backcourt in general, but Gabe Vincent's been out of whack as well. Like, he doesn't seem to have the control, I guess is the word, that he had in earlier times, like late in the season last year and early in the season this year. It's just a weird dynamic. It feels like these are guys that can go hot and cold. So we've seen cold stretches from a lot of these guys. And that's why I'm not going to overreact fully, because we could talk about this and then tomorrow night Strus has 5 threes, and then we're having, you know, a totally different conversation. But in one game sample size and what we've seen recently, they're going to need more from their bench, because that's something they've relied on heavily in past years. This is a different dynamic. We talked about it when we brought up Tyler Hero into the starting lineup. What are the major changes? Well, you're relying on the Gabe Vincent, Max Strus is off the bench because you don't have Hero to lean on and just save your entire offense off the bench. Lucky enough, they're staggering in different ways. Greg, I know you pointed this out on Off the Floor that they did a little bit differently, where they kept Kyle and Jimmy on the floor instead of Tyler and Bam, and they kind of threw it off in a little bit of a different direction, which is ideally what you want, because Kyle and Jimmy play really well together and Tyler and Bam play really well together. You want that to kind of go on, but it's more about what you're seeing, I guess, and the things they're running consistently for these other guys. I feel like I still come back to the fact, and that's why I asked you, is until the deadline, because I'm still watching the fact the energy shifts when teams can do certain things against Deadman when he enters. Like, it really is that simple. Like, there's the one thing of him not adding anything offensively. Once every 3 or 4 games, he'll have a good offensive night where he gets put back, so he'll hit a 3 and he gets the fans into it. Like, that'll happen. But then tonight happens, and then it's like the stuff that a Grizzlies team that is playing these type of guys, what they're doing to him on the defensive end, where it's like, we've seen it in games before, and I brought it up on here, where like teams put him in the action over and over and over. Then you see the dynamic tonight where they weren't just putting him in the action. They went like a full spacious lineup, and they just said, go isolation at him, and Brandon Clark's getting and ones, and he's getting to the basket. It's like, what do you really do from here? like I just don't really know, because it's not like they have another option. Like, yeah, you could say Nikola Jovic, but you're obviously going much smaller. Who's the other guy? Udonis Haslem? Like, they just don't really have options in this big man room, and I really keep coming back to that. And the last thing I mentioned, because I know you did want to bring up the bench, but I'll just throw in the fact, because I'm talking about the big man room. Bam had a very weird offensive game, but I'll say the thing that stood out to me is the fact that they were sending 2 at him. Like, we haven't seen a lot of that. Like, that's how good he's been on this recent stretch. Like, he's been very good offensive player. They were just sending 2 of him in the mid post, and then now it changes everything. Like, you saw Bam really out of sorts. Like, I used that word earlier, but that's the reason he was out of sorts. Like, he was not as comfortable. He couldn't turn into the normal face up because he had a second guy shading over. Like, there was just so many different things, but that's the development here. Like, if he could get to that point where it's like he's being aggressive enough for teams to respect him just send the double. And then the next thing is that when they send the double enough, can he beat it? Like, it's just a full-on development thing. We've had this discussion with Tyler, but if I'm being honest, there's probably more in the bag for Bam to do it quicker than Tyler, because Tyler, you know, has to put out more to beat it, like, if that makes sense. Like, yeah. Bam has the ability to do it. It's just seeing it enough and reacting. So that was just an interesting, I guess, dynamic that we saw in this game after what he did in Boston.
I think it's a good point, because in the playoffs, like they say, you know, your first move is going to be gone. So what are you going to do after that? And to this point, like when they blitzed Tyler and it looked a little weird against Atlanta in the playoffs, like Bam's going to eventually see that. And it's going to be like, it's a blessing that Bam is getting good enough to see two on the ball. But then it's like, where does he go from there? Alex, so as far as the bench goes with Struess and Gabe, and I saw Lynette's in the comments, she mentioned Gabe has had a bad year or so, I think is what she said. And he had a good stretch recently, but I understand where his uneven plays. Maybe you wanted to see him be a little more steady. Max has had a few games recently where he has 3 points, 4 points, 5 points, 6 points. Like he can have some clunkers along the way. From your perspective, how do the Heat, I guess I don't want to go too long term with you, but I'm interested to see what your answer is today about retaining those guys. How do you go about evaluating that? And in your opinion, who would you keep if you could only keep one, Gabe or Max?
Oh man, you're really putting me on the spot. Like you're just doing an incredible job fitting in for Ethan on his night off. I've always felt that they should do what they can to retain both, but that's also how I felt last season about PJ Tucker before I realized the hard cap implications and why they kind of passed up on giving him the 3 years. Obviously, this is a different situation. You're not paying a guy till he's 39 or 40 or whatever the situation was with PJ at the time. But I think because of the way that you develop these guys, and they kind of came from nowhere, I think people get scared and kind of get a little bit of PTSD from other times in the past. You know, both in the recent and distant past, where the Heat may have quote unquote overpaid for guys that they developed. And, you know, people say that they should try to trade them while their value is high. I just think they have to make a decision by the trade deadline. If you don't trade these guys, you have to do what you can to re-sign them. Like, I just think there's no letting them walk. Like, you can't sit on both sides of the fence. Now, I understand it will be a bad look to trade those guys. You know, if it's a part of another package or you're getting back other players, that's not what I'm advocating for. All I'm saying is they can't, you know, sit on the fence forever. They have to choose a side at one point. And I know it's tough, man, but I would do what what I could to keep the both of them. I think they're both pretty valuable to the rotation. I know Gabe has been a little bit more up and down recently, but I think kind of honestly with both of them, it's the – you know, that's the reality of a lot of your points and a lot of your attempts coming from three. I just think, like, you're going to have off-shooting nights, and it just feels like maybe it's a little bit too simplified. But I think a lot of their attempts do come from there, and that's kind of where most of their offensive value is. And when those guys aren't hitting, it just is like, you know, Gabe obviously does stuff defensively. Max has got him better defensively. They can help contribute to wins, but in losses like this, it looks even worse. The things are magnified. And, you know, tonight they shot 40 threes compared to, let me see, about 40 shots between the rim and mid-range combined. So the pie was all over the place, right? The shooting pie, however you want to call it, was all over the place. And about 30 of those 40 threes were non-corner threes. They actually shot well on the corner ones and very, very, very poorly on non-corner. So they were just forced into a lot of I wouldn't even want to say forced, because it feels like they settled more than anything. So it was just like, and that's honestly a theme for the whole season as far as whether or not you feel their shot profile is good where it stands. Because I was kind of looking at these stats earlier, and like I have it written down here. The Heat are in the bottom five in percentage of points being fast break points, bottom seven in percentage of field goals being twos, bottom 12 in percentage of points being points in the paint. And then they're in the top eight and top 13 of percentage of field goal attempts being threes and in the mid-range. Yeah. So you know what I mean? Like, see, they take a lot of jump shots. They don't take as many at the rim. Yeah, I was just
going to say, the easy way out.
And a lot of their, like, twos are assisted. You know what I mean? Like, they're always looking for the good passes, the good play, and I commend them for that. But then it shows up when you look at these things. It's like, well, outside of Jimmy and Bam, some occasional stuff from Caleb, you know, they're pretty good at cutting in general. Like, they just don't get that much from there, right? From at the rim. So if when other jump shots are not falling and kind of teams are forcing them out of their game a little bit, and if they're a little bit complacent, it gets ugly.
Brady, just so I put you on the spot as well on December the 5th, a day after Jay-Z's birthday. I don't know why that is relevant, but it just popped up in my head. Are you retaining Max or Gabe this summer if you have to pick one, just to document it?
Oof. I lean Max right now, and I know it's wild because as everybody –
by the way, my bad. I forgot to answer.
I would lean Max, and I know everybody would be nervous because of the specialist thing, like because they've done it. And then after Duncan Robinson, you're saying to yourself, don't pay a specialist. But I feel like you have to lean in that direction if you're leaning on this core. Like if you're leaning on – we keep saying about timelines and leaning on the Jimmy timeline or the Bam timeline and all this stuff. And that, even though Gabe and Max are in that same realm, you need Max more for this core than you do – than you need Gabe. Like that's kind of where I stand right now. So if you have to pick one, I think it's Max. And I'm interested to see what the Heat would think of that. Like what – if you, Greg, if you had to put yourself in their shoes right now, where do you think they would
– Oh, Max. They would want to keep Max. That's the vibe that I get. We'll see how that goes. But, yeah, that I just think that another guy we haven't talked about, Victor Oladipo, too. Like, they got to see how he fits in that mix. And I don't know. I just think that what Max brings, they is provided he continues to shoot as well as he has, because this whole Duncan thing has everybody a little scared of that. I think that they would lean Max. All right, so we're going to close out the episode and go through a few comments. Obviously, this was a disappointing night for the Miami Heat. They do go back home for a 3-game homestand, and I do expect that they will bounce back. So that's why I'm not freaking out as much, but I understand why others would be highly frustrated. But let's get to some comments, questions. On the live episodes, we like to mix in the audience as much as possible. So for our audio-only folks on the podcast feed, we'll read these questions out so that you know what we're answering. But, yeah, let's just take a few before we close. This comes from Solve. It says, make a trade for someone to be the sixth man till Oladipo can get healthy. Yeah, I don't know that they're going to trade for a six-man type, but they definitely need front court help. And the more we talk about it, y'all, like, would you agree that backup center is probably just as big of a issue as this whole like four next to Bam thing? Or am I going too far?
I mean, I would agree. I would totally agree. I said it before that like they can find ways to win without Jimmy or Kyle or Tyler and all these guys. Like, even though it'd be difficult, they could find ways. I just don't see what they do when Bam's out. Like, we saw that happen earlier in the year. Like, they don't have another option. We see the value he provides. And as much as we talk about him in kind of a much more direct scope after a game like this, when he doesn't perform at a high level, it's like, then you zoom out and you're like, when you don't have this guy, like, everything falls apart. Like, it really does. So I'm very high on like getting a solid backup big to kind of provide. Like, they don't need a lot. That's the thing. Like, they just need a solid 8, 10, maybe 12 minutes like in a certain game. So it's like they just need somebody to just be solid enough to get them through instead of try to be a neutral. Like, that's the whole goal here, it feels like.
Right. They were counting on Yurt and Depot, and I just think that they, you know, it's just an unfortunate scenario. Let's get another question up here. We'll put Alex on the spot on this one. This is from the Real Issues podcast. Do you think a trade fixes these problems? Because they don't. Alex, does a trade fix these problems?
I mean, look, man, you can't expect a trade to quote unquote fix everything. You just want to help out your best players that you're, you know, in the win now window for, right? Another thing, you know, just going back to sitting on the fence. They're not sitting on the fence when it comes to franchise direction. They've made it clear and public whenever they've had the chance that they're about winning. It's always been the whole thing, right? And so I think you got to help those guys out, man. We talked about the other episode, getting Bam some help, getting Jimmy some help. That's kind of what all of this is about, right? Like, you got Jimmy, his best friend, a couple of off seasons ago. Tyler has gotten better. Bam has gotten better. I just think they're a little bit small in the front court still. And I understand kind of the question when it comes to whether the backup five thing is a bigger issue. I don't know. I think it's definitely an issue. Like, they're like minus 7 point something when Bam is off the floor and plus 2 point something when he is. So obviously you got to fix that. But I think some of that has to do with the front court as well. Like Caleb obviously has been good. Highsmith has been on the up and up. So I feel pretty good about him in general as a rotation wing. But I still don't feel good about their four rotation, you know, heading into the playoffs, right? And obviously we know that Dedmon is not going to be some big time playoff contributor. So yeah, they're both issues. And I think it will be, you know, they're all about winning this season in the short term and long term. You got to find a way to balance that line, right? Like get guys who can help you now and in the short to long term, right? It's tough to balance that line. It's easier said than done. It's not 2K, but you know, the best thing for them to do if they're all about winning in the short term is making a trade for that power forward, I think, first and foremost. But it would be nice to be able to address both. I think they might be able to. You know, Andy Ellisberg is really creative with that type of stuff. So if they're really pursuing that, you know, upgrading at the four, upgrading at the backup five, like I think they can make it happen.
It would be kind of like the Jay and Iggy trade, but picture it be Jay and a center to be named later instead of Iggy. You know what I mean? So they're really fortifying the front court, split the difference on Duncan's salary, something like that. Maybe Fernando Lopez says Larry Nance Jr. would be dope on this team. I agree. He'd be dope, Brady, but New Orleans ain't trading Larry Nance Jr., right? He's kind of like an integral bench piece, and they're the number two seed in the West, yeah. Last I checked.
Yeah, I don't see that team making too many moves, to be honest. Like, we're just talking about it with Ethan on our podcast earlier. We're, like, talking about how good the Pelicans have been. I'm like, they've been so solid that, like, you don't want to mess with what they have right now, especially, like you just said, like a solid role player like that. So you're kind of looking at that, the teams in the middle of the pack that want to get out of that middle ground area or the teams in the bottom half that really want to tank for the top pick. So it's like, There's a pretty big grouping of teams, but it's like, which player are you looking at to fit it? Because you're basically, like we were just talking about, needing two guys. Like, you're not really looking, unless you're making two separate trades, which I guess you could do, Greg, at a certain point. But like, aren't you trying to look for two guys in the same trade, ideally?
Yeah, that's where I was going with what I said. And I don't know, you know, like what team has that magical package to make that happen. It's not easy. Someone says Hassan Whiteside revenge tour. Please don't do that to me. Someone else said, just please say that the Heat suck and end the stream. They're four games at the most out of the loss column.
Hey, the Hawks lost tonight.
The Hawks lost to Oklahoma City tonight. So just chill out. They're going to be okay. I know that y'all don't want to hear that. You want to hear panic, but we are not going down that road here. Uno mas, Manny. And shout out to Manny Chang on the ones and twos. The Real Issues podcast comes again. I've never heard of this podcast. I have to find out a little bit more about it after this game. Would you rather be a 5 seed that loses in the second round or tank and get a draft spot? I'll answer this question. I would rather just try to win as many basketball games as possible and see how things go. I never want to lose on purpose. So if I'm getting a high draft spot, meaning a lottery pick, that means that injury sent me in that direction. I'm not doing that intentionally, no matter what. Cool. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Five on the Floor Live. We will be back tomorrow night for Miami Heat Beat's going to take over the feed for Hangover Time. So definitely check out Alphonse Sydney and the crew. They'll take over the YouTube stream for the Tuesday night game against Detroit. And then we also will have a podcast with myself and others, and Brady and Alex covering will be also with you for the Thursday and Saturday games as well. Thank you for joining us. Sorry the Heat didn't win, but back to Miami they go. 3-game homestand, a victory hopefully tomorrow night. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Fire Regional Sports Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.